It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. Well, this week, unlike any other week, it is Tuesday, October 6th. Never happened before in the year 2020. Never will happen again.
What's that?
Tuesday, October 20th.
That's right.
That's the 6th. It's like,
and we fell right into that.
We don't care. It's me, Brady. It's Ron over there next to me. And Steve is on the other side doing whatever it is that Steve, the producer, does.
Yeah.
But there are literally 1,104 listeners this week. I counted each one of them. This is our 156th episode. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. In case you were curious, we're on iTunes, iHeart Podcast, Spotify, Podomatic.com, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Podbay, Cashbox, and some other place that I don't know about.
Yes, there are a few other places I can't remember.
We don't know. Somebody's broadcasting us someplace. They're not paying us for it, I'll tell you that.
No.
So thanks for liking and following our Facebook page. By the way, the Facebook page is getting more and more action. We really appreciate it. If you find our show on Facebook, take a second, hit the like button.
Please.
If you find us on Instagram, then good luck to you because we're not on Instagram. But if we were, you could like and subscribe and follow us and all that kind of stuff. And
of course, they could hit love.
They could. And we're on YouTube. And if you go to our YouTube, please like and follow and subscribe and all that cool stuff.
I get things up there occasionally.
Yes, he does. So right now, our first segment is, as always, back to the blacktop, two-lane blacktop.
Yes.
One of my second or third favorite movies. It's always a good one.
Yes, it
is. Steve's got automotive news and information as usual. What you got, sir?
Well, under the following category of globalist agenda, up first is this. Honda has played in the F1 racing on and off since 1964, as you well know. But after much pressure, in my opinion, they have decided to pull out and shift those hefty resources to the development of battery cars and fuel cell vehicle development.
Of course they are. Hey, by the way, here's a trivia question about Honda and 1964 and the F1 series.
Right.
You know what the CCs of the first Honda racing car was? You don't know. Nobody does.
No.
600cc.
Wow.
That's their first entry.
Because they were getting into motorcycle racing, too.
Well, they were, yeah.
But
they had that little Honda. I think it was a Honda 600 or something like
that. Wow.
Some little thing. A cool little car, but that's what they started out as.
Well, there you go.
Don't ask me why I know that.
Well, it's cool because now their cars are phenomenally
fast.
They
are phenomenal. Yes,
yeah,
they are.
From all my reading at the UN and WEC, they want a green energy, which is a code for shifting more of the world's dependence on China, which everyone knows is the world leader in minerals needed to make current batteries. China is, after all, the most favored nation of top-down command and control in its populace.
Yes.
And gee, gas engines mean they are not dependent on electric grid, so you can control people even more. And keep in mind, China is like the predecessor of pushing for electric cars.
That's right.
Everybody,
they mine lithium.
That's exactly right. They mine lithium.
They strip mine lithium. That's right.
They don't mind burning coal for heat.
That's right.
Or electricity.
Yeah. Well, we do that here too. But the fact is, where does the electricity come from?
To Thor. It comes from Thor.
To charge up those lithium batteries. Oh, people keep forgetting.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the same place it comes right now. So
the
whole thing is, anyway, so keeping in mind, you know, because you have a gas-powered car, and let's say you have an older one like a lot of people that we listen to our show, some of ours, there's no tracking devices, no electronics, no computers,
That's
and all of a sudden
right.
you can go off the grid.
We're off the grid.
And it kind of reminded me of that movie. I think it was kind of... I don't know if it was a $6 million man or the guy that played on Buck Rogers in the 24th Century. But there was...
Bruce Boxleitner?
No, he wasn't on there.
What?
No, that wasn't him. It was another guy. Anyways, the movie was about a guy in a race car who, in the future, was escaping the town because it was like very much like under a social communist...
David Carradine.
I was going to say
dictate.
David Carradine.
I think it was.
No, it was not. I'm going to look it up, but I didn't have time to do it. But anyways, it was a pretty cool movie.
If either Ron or I are right, you owe us a drink.
No.
You know, I swear it was one of the two actors I told you earlier.
Okay.
So up next, VW is looking to sell off its high-end brands as part of a restructuring under the new CEO. Under the former CEO, Ferdinand Piëch, Volkswagen pieced together an array of brands. That's P-E-E-C-H. P-I-E-C-H. So how would you pronounce that?
Pike.
Pike, thank you. I think of P-I-K-E.
Okay.
But Pike. So Volkswagen pieced together an array of brands covering entry-level cars to exotic sedans, sports cars. And as you know, Lamborghini and Bugatti are right there in that namesake. They own those. Well, the current CEO who's coming on board, CEO Herbert Diess, wants to unravel that empire, according to the article, selling or spinning off some of the marquees, including Lamborghini and Bugatti. Probably the underlying reason is to direct these gas-guzzling high-end sports cars, this is my opinion, to electric cars without a heart due to the pressure, again, from the IMF, who funds their company with loans.
There will never be, I'm going on record now.
Yes.
There will never be an all-electric Bugatti. It will not happen.
That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to do it.
I agree. Up next is Volvo's first long-range BEV, battery electric vehicle. The XC40 Recharge is now in production with other models to follow. The first U.S. versions will be in showrooms in December. Up next is Lotus, leading an engineering government-funded partnership to develop an all-new next-generation EV called LEVA, short for Lightweight Electric Vehicle Architecture.
What?
Sure.
Up next, we find Toyota Motor, North America, confirming it's jumping into the North America with the Class 8 trucks. Get this, with Hino USA with fuel-celled electric trucks. And I won't keep going on, but you get the point. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon because of, well, there is powers above them that are saying you better do that to offset all those nasty diesel, gas, and whatever else emission-powered cars. So,
in other words, all the fun cars.
All the fun cars. Everybody that's not on a grid. Unrestricted mileage because you just go from gas station to gas station. So anyway, that is the roundup under what I call the globalist agenda.
Well, you know they're going to have to figure out another way to make taxes because they're not going to get the taxes that they would for gasoline if they get.
Well, I have a feeling that when you go to charge, it won't be free. There will be charge fees.
Of course.
Taxes added to all that. There will be taxes and taxes and more taxes.
But all of charge the charges at home. You got to charge.
They're actually
home,
talking
right?
about, yes. what is it, here in Washington, they were floating the idea of use tax or driver tax. I mean, depending on how many miles, right. they tax you per mile.
They're going to have a hard time selling that until there's enough electric cars that it makes sense, though. Because the 19 guys that are buying them,
yeah,
you know, I mean, the percentage-wise, it's pretty low right now. So those guys are going to put up with a gigantic tax to support everybody else. Yeah, I'm thinking that's not going to fly.
Well, we know that by 2035, supposedly California is going to be only electrics being sold there.
But that's okay, because by 2034, California is going to
fall
off the ocean.
The ocean. San Andreas, and it won't be there. It'll
yeah,
be,
I heard that because of all
Las
the...
Las Vegas will be the ocean.
All the oil being pumped out of L.A. Basin that most people don't know
right.
Is Las hollowing Vegas. Out the undergirding the area, and they're going
to
have
welcome to the Cynicism Hour on Horsepower Chrome
yes.
Rust.
Actually, there was a James Bond movie where they were doing that. They were pumping the... never mind.
And James Bond movies are all real. We know that.
Oh, yes. Well, I came across this really cool little thing. Volvo thinking ahead as it's thinking of autonomous vehicles are going to take over the world. They, along with other automakers, are working on the problem of left versus right steering columns. And they've come up with a patent to allow their platforms to have a adjustable steering. In other words, it's like a groove across the front, and it starts here, and you flip a switch, and you can pull it into the center or over to the right or back to the left.
So you can steer from either seat.
Well, they're electric steering now.
So what's cool about that is
servos.
They say it's about autonomous, but I'm thinking, if you're selling to Europe or you're selling to America or wherever else, now you got a single platform that you can just sell. You're going to save some money. What do you think about that?
Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we talk with Todd Warmack from the Trans Am Worldwide. And we won't say anything else about electric or autonomous cars on this episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Go, Kim.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
This is Mario Andretti, and you are listening to the Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Stay tuned.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower Chrome and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View. And this week, our guest is Todd Wormack, and I'm Ron Foreman. Welcome, Todd.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How's the, you're in Florida these days. Kissimmee, Florida, is that right?
No, we're in Tallahassee.
Oh, Tallahassee. Florida, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're about 30 miles south of the Georgia line.
Gotcha. All right.
Oh, wow. And for those who do not know, Todd is the, are you founder, co-founder of Trans Am Worldwide?
Yes, I'm both.
Okay, very good, very good.
He has two hats.
Founder and co-founder.
I like it. CEO, founder, co-founder, that's right.
I like it. Well, so let's talk about that for a second. I mean, founder is pretty cool, but how did you come up with the idea to do this group? What's the mission statement of Trans Am Worldwide? And by the way, before you answer that question, what's the website? Where are we going to find you guys?
Okay, so you can find us at transamworldwide.com.
Perfect.
Yep.
And how'd you get this thing off the roll?
So really, to understand Trans Am Worldwide, I have to take you back to Trans Am Depot.
All right.
Trans Am Depot is actually where we started. It now is a sister company that my brother runs that does strictly restorations and all types of muscle cars.
Got it.
Predominantly the F-body. And the Trans Am is the specialty.
And that's Scott.
So that is Scott. Right. So we start there, and I take you back to, I'm thinking, April 2008. And by this time, some of Kevin Morgan's, who's a graphic designer out of Canton, Pennsylvania, some of his renderings of what he thought Trans Am would look like on the Camaro platform. By then, the images had come out in Camaro, but the Camaro wasn't out yet. What a Trans Am would look like. And after seeing those, one day I'm on the way home, and it just hits me. I'm home, and I'm driving home from work, and I thought, wow, you know, they were always built on the same platform. Why couldn't we start with the Camaro, remove all the body panels, all the parts, all the interior parts, everything we can, and rebuild it back with Trans Am parts.
There you go.
So the idea was born there, but I actually sat on it for a year. And it wasn't until maybe it was April the next year. Anyway, it was right at a year, I pick up the phone and call Kevin Morgan. because I didn't want to take, you know, he's the one that really inspired the idea. And in my mind, it just wouldn't work if we just took and ran with that. I wanted him involved because he's a great graphic designer, and there's a lot of things that we could do perhaps together. So I ran the idea by Kevin. He liked it. And a few months later, we had our first prototype, and we were showing it at Trans Am Nationals, which was, I think, in August of 2009.
Very cool. Now, when you say prototype, what exactly does somebody get from one of those that they wouldn't get by just going and buying a Trans Am?
Well, today we're the only source to buy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So we work under a license agreement. Back then, of course, we didn't have a license agreement. We were just speculating on an idea.
Got it.
And so we throw all this money and energy into this one concept. And, you know, at that time, we're using parts that we could find.
Sure.
Right. So we're scavenging parts from this car and that car and fabricating the others and come up with what is today what I consider extremely crude rendition of his rendering. But at that time, there was nothing. You know, it had been 2002 since anybody had seen the last Trans Am roll off the floor. So
sure,
they were eager. And we just got just blasted with people just, how can I order one? And, we just built this one, fabricated a one prototype. So launching this into a business was a much much more of a quantum leap for us, and at that time we didn't have all the answers.
Right. That's funny. That's almost the Carroll Shelby Cobra story. You know, in the early days, he had one car. He sold it to several people
before.
You know.
Yeah. So we're selling off, but we knew we didn't want it to look like this.
Sure.
There was a lot of changes that we wanted to make. But people and sales are hot, warm, cold. So if somebody gets interested in something, they want to buy. If they're ready to buy now, they're ready. If you wait a little longer, they're going to get warm, and pretty soon they're on to something else.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to lose that enthusiasm and that that desire that we had created. But at the same time, we knew that we were looking at a car that was not going to be what we wanted to sell. So now we're faced with having to redesign or refine this this concept, and then also make it something that could be produced, right? And,
sure.
and not something that's a one-off every time you go to do one. That took a while. And so Trans Am Depot started in 2006. My brother and I started just as a restoration. We really did it for ourselves. And we got licensed with General Motors through another company we had, and we used that to make parts that we couldn't otherwise find.
Right.
So we were in the parts business, we were in the restoration business, and now we've got this new idea to make a modern-day Trans Am.
All based on the brand-new Camaro platform.
All based on the brand-new Camaro
platform.
And it had to be that way, you know, just because it always was.
Yep.
So now, that's where we started. And the company and the ideas and things just grew from there. A lot of growing pains along the way, as any company like that starting from scratch would have. You learn, and then you learn to anticipate too, because General Motors is changing things a lot. You know, so we'd run into little anomalies like the modules for the light, these new lights, they don't work all of a sudden, and then you find out, oh, there was a mid-year change in the wiring system, and now we've got to trace that down, figure out what it was. So eventually we got to where we could get CAD data and things from General Motors and started refining our process. And, so now we transitioned to Trans Am Worldwide, which was founded, I think we actually started Trans Am Worldwide exclusively for the newer Trans Am, so we could keep the two separate. We relocated to another facility here in Tallahassee, and I think that was we entered our new facility in 2015. So I guess we've been there 5 years now.
Wow! So I'm going to have you walk us through a little bit. But when you did your first fabrication of sheet sheet metal or plastic or fiberglass or composites. What did you do? Did you actually build your own molds and everything, or were you taking and using older pieces and reworking them? How'd that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, the first couple we just fabricated, your plastic weld, just to get a shape, something that not necessarily was going to use to try to market, but just to try to figure out where do we go from here. So we did everything from welding and brazing to plastic grafting and you name it, whatever you can find in a body shop. That's what. But ultimately, the goal is really to get to CAD data, where or get to a symmetrical part that you could scan, and then you take that into CAD and you produce a plug or a mold from that, and then you can produce parts from it.
Like the T-chop made out of carbon fiber.
Exactly.
So, but your initial investment was a brand new Camaro, correct?
That is correct. That was the initial. I tracked that car down. They were just coming out. I found it in California. Had to be black. Bought that, had it shipped, and between the cost of the car and the time and the materials, took a couple of months. Or better, probably 3 months to get it ready.
Wow.
One of those things, literally, paint's drying in the trailer on the way to the show.
Well, hang on with that thought. We've got a break coming up.
The Windshield View will be right back with more from Todd Wormack and Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and let's get back to a conversation with Todd Wormack. And Brady, off air, you had a question.
Well, yeah, when in the last segment, Todd was talking about the whole concept of, somebody wanting a car like this, and it's sort of a hot, warm, cold deal from the buyer's standpoint. And what I've heard, Todd, I want your kind of take on this, because you've dealt with these people more than I. Some people say, if it's one of those things where I got to have it, I really want it, it's just amazing. I get that you're hot, initially. And then, if you don't get it right away, maybe there's a cooling period, and pretty soon it's like, I can't get it. Maybe I don't want it. On the other hand, have you heard people say, this is kind of a legacy purchase. This is something like, I always wanted this car, and I'll wait as long as it takes to get the right one. Have you seen both of those things happen? Which one do you think kind of relates to the kind of thing you're producing?
Well, our buyer is the latter, because that's because our turnaround time is, you know, we don't. They do is built to order. I may have 20 cars on the floor right now that are going through the process, but from start to finish, you're looking at close to a year.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
So it takes and this was an education for me when I realized that even at this high, because our cars aren't cheap. You know,
sure.
I mean, we're starting with a $40,000 donor, and then we're tearing it all apart and rebuilding it back. So. But, you know, our average sale is probably somewhere in the 170 range.
Yeah. Yep. But for a custom made car, essentially, that's competitive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, and they, most people understand that, okay, they have a greater appreciation actually when they realize that
they're going to
be involved in every aspect of choosing the build with regard to the options and so forth. And, so our client base is willing to wait. They want it quicker than they can get it. Naturally, it's human nature.
Sure, sure.
But the reality is that where else are you going to get it? It's not like you can drive down to the next dealer somewhere.
Yeah, they're not on the floor someplace.
And order one.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Some
which
days,
has actually worked very well in our favor for the value of these cars on the secondary market.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know, you get, it's the old adage, you get what you pay for. You know, if you're buying a custom car, it's worth the wait. I mean, it should be, but it is generally.
Well,
because there you go. You're not going to get
another
license,
one. They're licensed too, so they have permission.
Yeah, exactly.
And that reminds, so you mentioned that the license, with like the Shelby America, because that's like similar, they're modifying an existing platform, but it's all still under. So do you get like a brand new platform, or what are the years that you're working with now to build these modern day Trans Ams?
So now we only work with the 6th gen. So when we started out, it was the 2010 through 15. And the Bandit edition was the last edition that we did on the 15 or the 5th gen platform.
Okay.
So that ran through 2015. So anything that we do right now, everything that we build, if somebody comes in and buys a car, it's a brand new car. So we're starting with a 220, our 2020 model, and. We're going from there. So, but I might have a car on the floor that's a 19 that that came in late last year that's almost going through, almost finished. So I can have various years, but technically I can work with any 6th gen platform. So that's 16 through 20.
Can you still get a Bandit if someone wanted to order one?
Only on the secondary market.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So then if a person, you go out and you buy a brand new Camaro, is this when you get done still under warranty, and or how does that all work? Because you're a licensed aftermarket, much like Shelby America is. How do you work that? I mean, what mods are you doing? Is it fall under that warranty? You know, talk to us about that.
Yeah. So you know, anytime you start changing, you start adding performance and drivetrain changes, General Motors doesn't want to warrant it.
Okay.
So our customers know that. We do have a warranty for that, depending on the level of performance. So what they don't, you know, what they lose if we're going to go to performance, for example, then we pick up. It's not going to be your, you know, 5 year, 100,000. So, but it's a standard performance warranty that you would find out in the industry. The other thing is, you know, we obviously warranty our, you know, our parts and the paint and that type of thing. Anything that we do in touch, we'll warranty that. But if something happens, let's say your electric windows quit working, or your wiper stopped, or something happened to your drivetrain and we didn't change that, that's still under warranty.
Okay.
So basically, GM warranties what they built, and you warranty what you built.
Exactly.
There you go.
Oh, that is cool.
That's kind of, you know, back in the day, there was a dealership in the Midwest called Nikki, and they did prep work on some of the original Camaros and stuff like that. And, they were well known for building hot rods, and that's what they did in the first place.
But
Yanko same thing. You know, if we prep it, if we do it, we'll warn you what we messed up. But yeah. GM covers whatever they're going to play with. It makes total sense, of course.
So now when I'm going to look at your factory, are you building your own parts there? Do you have a supplier chain that's building your? Because I mean, you've got everything from the nose to the tail lights to the tail. I mean, you've got a lot of things that must be removed from the Camaro and replaced with the Firebird Trans Am accoutrements. So how do you do that? Where is that done? And
that's a good question. 95% is done in-house.
Excellent.
There are some things that lenses, some components that we have supplier a supply chain for.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly anything body panel related, everything on the outside, excuse me, is done in-house. The glass for the T-tops is the one thing that we do outsource.
Mm-hmm.
That is on the exterior of the car.
Sure.
That and the wheels. Those are our design wheels, but we have them cut CNC'd at another location. So, but other than that, we do it all, and that gives us complete control over the quality.
Nice. Now, I know if we go to TransAmWorldwide.com, we're going to see all your stuff. And, you can look at the cars, you can look at the options and stuff, just so that we can induce people to hit that button and get to your website. What are your engine options? What are your power options? What do you got that's going to make people smile?
Yes.
So it's like they say, everything from mild to wild. So right now we're finishing up the Super Duty. If you saw that, that was a program we did with Joey Arrington, who's a NASCAR builder.
Right.
It essentially was a NASCAR engine that was cammed and tuned to drive on the street. It was built to that higher level of specifications. We're putting those out at 1,000, some of them 1,100 foot-pounds of torque, over 1,000 horsepower.
There you go. I'm going to hazard a guess and say that's competitive. talking, you know.
Say that.
you got Hellcat owners kind of taking a quick right turn when they see you coming?
Well, here's what makes that car so cool is it drives like you rolled it off the showroom floor. There's, you know, a lot of times when you get up in that upper horsepower range, you lose a lot of your drivability on the low end.
Yeah, you get a little trucky. Yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, idling through a parking lot or something. This isn't like that, except for the you know, and we did profile a cam that had more of an old school lope to it, which added to the nostalgia.
Oh, sure.
And
you can't beat it.
Yeah. And when you do that with a supercharged setup, you know, you have a little blow by because of the higher profile cam.
Right.
So, you know, we've got enough power. Look, you know, 1,000 plus is plenty. So if we gave up a little bit for that cool nostalgic sound, it's worth it in the end because it's part of the total package.
Well, sure. I mean, first off, who doesn't like a good lumpy cam? And second, you know, it takes you back, for those of us who are old enough to have been there in the first place, it takes you back to those, you know, those days where you could hear the thing coming a couple of blocks away.
Yep.
And like, oh my God, here it is, you know. That's a statement right there.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a traffic light or been in the parking lot of a grocery store or something, and I've had people comment on the sound. Just the idle.
Sure.
Just the idle alone. I've had old timers. I haven't heard that in so long. It sounds so good.
And isn't that the very reason why you buy a custom car like that? I mean, that's really, get right down to it. Of course, you got the power and the driving ability, but please, it's the sound.
So now, I got to ask you, how have you been received with through GM themselves? I mean, here you're buying their cars in doing it. Or have you got any notoriety amongst the actual people within the company?
Well, it's hard to – I can only tell you what you know, my experience has been at the shows. We're there, obviously on display at like New York Auto Show, SEMA, some of the shows we do together. We always get really positive reviews from the guys there at the show, the engineers, some of the, but you know, and it feels good. I mean, you know, when they come up and they stand there and they give us their input a lot of times, which is very helpful. And so, you know, I've never heard anything negative from General Motors about what we've done. And certainly we've always tried to maintain the highest level of quality and integrity because, you know, we have to because of our license agreement, one, but also because that's what we want to do.
Right.
You know, and so that's why we're constantly making rolling changes with our system and our SOP and the things that we're doing, our parts, we're constantly refining. If we can find a better way, then we're going to invest in that to do it.
That is cool. Now, what are the options for colors?
Well, we start with the general mode. Well, we can do any colors, the bottom line.
Okay.
But what we like to do is if somebody wants us, and we have this actually on our website in the gallery section, you'll see a car that we recently completed. It's dark blue, and it's you'll know because it's got a mountain
yes.
background. The customer had the photograph at his house, and he's got mountains in the background. That customer lives in Tennessee, and he wanted a custom color to match his Corvette. So it's a blue. So we just started with the hypermetallic blue, I think is what the stock color was. And so that is much easier to tweak. Now, in this case, you know, you got, it's almost sometimes like a rotisserie because we strip it down to the rolling chassis. So there's no engine, there's no transmission. So sometimes we'll put them on a rotisserie. If it's a radical color change, if it's one blue and we're changing it to another blue, that's a whole lot different than if it's a white car and they want it black. So when you're doing radical color changes like that, then we'll put it on a rotisserie. And then, you know, what we try to do is really mimic what the robotic arms are doing in the painting department when it's going through the at the factory. So some, you know, it's not,
cool.
If you look under a car, it's not all solid color. A lot of it's overspray and fog. And so we take a lot of pride in trying to duplicate that in our reproductions of new paint jobs.
Excellent. Well, Todd, I think Ron has a couple questions he wants to throw at you.
I know when you first started out making these, you have four different models, and the Outlaw was your favorite at that time. Is that still your favorite?
I'd have to say now it's the Super Duty. You know, Trans Am fans will know that the Super Duty was built in 73 and 74. It was the only 2 years the car
right.
was built, and it kind of snuck through during that time when, you know, the government was clamping down on emissions control, and it was choking off all the horsepower. And,
unless it was a four-door sedan.
Yeah. So, and so really to do a car in tribute to that and to really collaborate with an engine builder like Joey Arrington and to put the kind of power we have to those cars that are very streetable and just a blast to drive.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing like a lot of torque, right?
Right.
And the other thing too is the sixth generation platform is much more refined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the luxury, I guess you could say, or the feel of the cockpit is much more tight and you just feel like you're in a lot more control. Just from the factory. So, you know, when we add to that with our upgrades, it just enhances those things.
Do you still have your Outlaw?
I'm sorry?
Do you still have the Outlaw model? Do you still own it? Or?
Yes, we do. We still offer the Outlaw model. That, basically, the Outlaw now is our entry level. And then a customer can build kind of an a la carte from there. He can start with the Outlaw, and he can choose performance and paint options. So the standard Outlaw would come, for example, with vinyl decals like the factory did back in the day.
Well, hey, Todd.
Todd,
I got to interrupt. We have got 10 seconds left of the interview, and this has gone way too fast. So we just want to say thank you for coming on the show, and you know, we'll have to have you back on again.
I'd love to, guys, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you very much. You're listening to the greatest automotive show in the known world, and we've got a great hot rod story up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14,
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Car Confidential. We're back with Brady Wright doing another story from Lance Lambert's Fenders, Fins, and Friends.
That's
this
right.
Week.
And Lance has friends.
He does.
I know because
he's a friend of mine.
He's paid for. No. He's.
Jeez, come on, Brady.
I'm telling Jose.
No, don't tell Jose. Lance get beat up the next time he goes out to the Triple X.
Yes.
So, Lance, the story that I chose this time, because I guess it's appropriate because we were just talking to Todd Wormack about his, you know, high-dollar Trans Am repops. I hate to, you know, denigrate it by calling it a repop because it's really a custom car. But the story from Lance this week is called Big Wallets Required, and somehow that's appropriate in this particular situation. Lance says, many participants in the old car hobby also collect automotive and petroleum memorabilia. The owner of a 57 Chevy might also proudly display in the garage a Chevy dealer sign from 57 or a restored 1950s era gas pump. Automobile dealers' promotional items became pretty useless when the next year's Chevrolets were introduced and the Texaco gas station owner was forced to keep pace with the gas pump's progress where more modern pumps were put in place. As time passed, most of those items have become extremely collectible and, dare we say it, expensive. Recently, one of the annual automotive swap meets was held at the local county fairgrounds. Hundreds of vendors were selling everything from automotive company ashtrays, which are great paperclip holders, to full-sized automobiles. Are you looking for some factory original material to upholster your 1950 Studebaker? Well, the vendor in stall 102 just happens to have about 10 yards of it. How will a dealer's window banner announcing the arrival of the new 1940 Plymouth Road King look in your garage's window? Well, I don't know, because it'd cover up the window and you couldn't see in. Never mind. All you need is a big garage window and a big wallet to find out, and we're talking a really big wallet. Some of the items displayed in Lance's garage have been prized possessions since high school, and a few more recently purchased are still in the trunk of the car waiting to be unwrapped and displayed A common, yeah, that's right. Jimmy Hoff is in here. A common thread linking these items is that they were purchased for very little money. The real high-dollar items were purchased for no more than a couple hundred dollars. Okay, the old Signal gas pump cost more than that. But a guy has to get himself something really special when he turns 50 years old. I wouldn't know.
A friend?
Yeah, that would be good. An actual human. So one of those recent additions... Lance lives close enough to me that I got to watch this stuff. One of the recent additions to the collection is a plaque that was announced or awarded to R.H. Tucker in 1950 for your cooperation and endeavor to develop plans toward more and better satisfied Chevrolet owners. Good job, R.H., since they wouldn't let you build your own car. Actually, that's not him. There's Preston Tucker that built the Tucker. Your plaque is handing next to the plaque for the L.A. Sawyer received in 51 for meritorious achievement and service to the petroleum industry. Meritorious, now that's something to fill you with pride, is it not? Perhaps things continued to go so well that future awards actually stated R and L's first names instead of just their initials. I purchased both of these plaques because they're a small part of automotive history and are great looking, and best of all, they cost a grand total of $11. Lance spares no expense. Now let's return to the swap meet. I'm walking along. I'm noticing.
Have you seen his wallet?
I have not seen his wallet. Although he got up off of it long enough to buy me a beer once. So, I'm walking along. I noticed a thick paper sign, approximately 11 by 17 in size, advertising an auto repair shop in Tacoma, Washington. Happens to be from the 20s, and features just the right amount of aging and patina to offer proof that it's been around longer than most of us have been around gathering patina. I pause, I pick it up, I turn it over, expect to see a price tag somewhere around $50 to $100. The price is $1,500.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
You better need a bigger wallet.
Two or three times the new purchase price of any car being repaired in this Tacoma repair shop when the sign was clean and new. I was shocked at the price. I dropped the sign as if it had just burst into flames. I paid between $20 and $200 for many items in my garage. Of course, the majority of items were purchased 10 to 30 years ago when a seller's pitch was often, it's marked $20, but I'll take $15 for it now. Now, more often vendors say, one of those just sold on eBay for $17 gazillion, but I'm willing to sell it to you for every penny you earn for the rest of your life. These days, my swap meet and antique shop sojourns are mostly for the fun of seeing a lot of interesting old car items and talking to a lot of my car friends. I rarely purchase anything due to the vendor's asking price and my wallet's giving price, speaking different languages.
If you go Sunday, it's a little bit different.
A little different, yeah. Yeah. Some past swap meets and antique store adventures resulted in coming home with an item that caused my family and neighbors to ask, now, why do you want that old thing? Now, the more frequent greeting is... Didn't find anything you wanted, huh? Lately, I've not been able to purchase some items due to the prices being too high. Fortunately, it's not always the case, which is last weekend, I purchased a very nice old shell mop and container for $10. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are still a few bargains waiting for me. And he's got a picture of... Do you remember what the shell mop was?
No.
The
what?
The shell mop. It was a thing in a round... tall can, sort of like coffee can, but wasn't that big. It was a deal that you took out that you could mop your car windshield with. They sold them at Shell stations.
Okay.
And they were about $1.30 or something. They weren't very much expensive, but they were a brand name item. And Lance, because he likes weird stuff like that, bought one.
I think that's probably what spurred him on to start the radio ranch, because then he could go, gee, I can pick up an old ranch radio for $15, $25. And all of a sudden now he's outfitted a side of his garage with the radios.
Actually, you may be right. Although I think he maybe bought those old radios hoping that he would hear some ads on them for the stuff that he wants at the old prices and maybe tell the guy,
a time machine.
It's a here, and it's, you said it was a nickel 250, and he's not going to.
You know, I'll tell you what, his garage is not my garage. I'm in process of organizing and cleaning my garage to make room for the remodel. But when I'm done, I will have the wood shop on the one side and the car shop on the other, and then the storage for the food on the very far side next to the wood shop. And mine is a working garage. I do not have room for anything, knickknacks, none of that, because it gets used. I'm going to have posters and stuff, but
You have a dog of bones.
Nope. And I suspect, Ron, yours is the same way, right? It's a user.
My
I've been building a shed, and or not a shed, but a deck. I've got tools and parts and levels and measuring tapes and gloves and all kinds of stuff in there right now. It's not a pretty sight.
No.
My yours? Garage, I aspire to have Ron's garage. mine's a bloody mess, but it's at least I can get into it.
That's right. You can't even get into mine.
Mine will never make it into Garage Magazine or whatever that is.
No. My garage should make it into Hoarders Magazine.
Although when I have friends come over and look at my garage, go, man, you got a lot of cool stuff in here, man. Look at that.
I didn't know
I had that.
We had our friend Greg Higgins on last week of the Firebird Camaro thing and Western Washington Firebirds, and we were talking about movies. Well, I had gotten the movie McHugh with John Wayne, one of the few movies that he acted in that I never watched. And I'd seen Brannigan, which was him over in Europe, over in England. Well, I thought, oh, McHugh, maybe I've seen it. I got it, and I was just spellbound. My family, I said, it's family night, so they all came down. And here it is, 1973, Seattle, Washington. The whole thing's shot. He's got a, for the first half, he's running around in that Firebird called the Green Hornet. Before it had an untimely demise, and I won't give away the plot, what happens, but a very interesting way to get rid of a car. But they end up out at Quinault,
right?
Or which is
Forks.
Way out in Forks, and they've got one of the coolest chase scenes on the beach in
Until
the water.
The Sasquatch got them.
No.
They got in trouble, though.
They did.
Yep. Oyster beds a little bit.
But the bottom line, I'm like, what a cool concept. And there it was. It was out there at Forks in that area that was shot at the very end. And
this was before the vampires were out there.
Yeah. But it was a cool movie. So, guys and gals, if you get a chance,
good movie.
Get MCQ.
McHugh.
And very, very cool movie. So I mean, that's
Lance
a little bit of history.
Probably not be writing about the Q.
Those were
but we do thank him for his cool books. You can get them on Amazon. He's even in Barnes & Noble now.
The Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is next. Put it in park. Stick around.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Who in the world can understand the El Camino man? We don't know.
Nope.
Steve doesn't know either.
I do not.
He even has one.
Is that a Spanish word?
It is.
What does it mean?
The road.
I thought it meant
walking.
No, El Camino is the road. El Camino Real is the royal highway.
Oh. And they were taking off from the Ranchero,
yes,
which
the Ranchero
is another Spanish word.
That's right. So this is Around the Wheel. This is where we do all the upcoming events and the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question, which this week had no winner. Even Nathan, he gave a pretty good shot, but it may have been the way I phrased the question.
What?
I know. Yet generally, Nathan.
Well, these are getting very hard, I'm telling you.
They're not hard. They're just obscure. So last week, what I asked was, it's really not that tough, long, low, wide cars, as a styling exercise, right, had an origination, basically. They started with somebody or sometime, someplace. And it really isn't too awful difficult if you go back and look at it. The time was long about, 1930. Actually, it was 1927. So Harley Earl, everybody is familiar with the name Harley Earl, the designer. He designed for lots of different companies. But in 1927, he designed the LaSalle, the Cadillac LaSalle.
Yeah.
And that was actually the beginning of the trend towards lower and wider cars. Of course, he was the head of GM styling department. And aside from doing long, low, and wide and making that a thing through the 30s and really up through the 40s, he also invented the tail fin. And towards the end of his career, he designed the Corvette. So,
wow.
Dude, man. He had the thing. And
stellar,
like I said,
career.
Had some interesting answers to that one. Thanks to everybody who sent an email or hit up the Facebook page, because it was kind of fun. But nobody got it, so that's okay. We will hold the can of barn fine dust until next week, because this week's question. All right. So Ford, everybody knows Ford was the first mass-produced automobile. Not the best, but the first. And there's something to be said for being first. So the obscure, weird, idiot question that I came up with this week is, everybody knows that Ford was the first mass-produced car, but whose tires were on that car? Because they made a special deal for who was going to provide the rubber for the first mass-produced Fords. If you know, you can email us your answer at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can go to the Facebook page and flap an answer out there. And I'll just take the earliest one. If there happens to be multiple correct ones, that's all fine. You can do Messenger if you want. Whatever you like. You can send us an email. And as I always say, you can send a carrier pigeon by the house, although my dogs will probably eat it.
Our cats would be eating it if it was my house.
Lately, the dogs are interested in the bunny rabbits that come out from the woods behind the house.
Oh,
they're,
yes,
much more interested.
Our cats
them.
Have been snacking on those.
Ah.
That guy's been going after the squirrels that have been around lately, like getting ready for winter.
That
they're,
is, my dogs aren't smart enough to catch squirrels.
They didn't catch them. He's just barking at them and chasing them.
Oh, they bark
them.
At them, sure, yeah. But they're not, they can't catch them.
No. So should we mention that we are working hard and fast? Can I mention what we're going to be putting
on here? A new TV show,
oh, yeah.
Hard and Fast.
Yeah, Harry, there you go. Yeah, actually, it's a cool idea. We came up with this last week when Greg was here. We thought, it'd be kind of fun to do a cruise.
Yep.
And we are going to do a Horsepower Chrome and Rust cruise. We just haven't exactly laid out a route yet, but we got some ideas. It's going to be in the Pacific Northwest, because that's where we are.
When?
Well, we're getting there, too. We were thinking about maybe towards the week of Halloween.
Oh, tricky ride.
I think it will be Halloween day.
Yeah, I'm thinking it gets
Saturday the 31st.
It is. And you know what else is there?
Decorate
your
cars.
It's the blue moon. And the full moon.
There you go. And we're going to have
maybe
a
we'll call
you
can it
decorate,
the blue moon
dress up,
blue
and the whole
moon,
bit.
We could get the
Trick Your Ride.
We could get the Marcells to do the music.
He's got
for
Trick
it.
Your Ride is
they're
a great
all,
idea.
They're all dead.
It's a treat.
It could. It would be a treat.
Yep.
We're going to get you more details on this. Do not give up on
yep.
us. We'll probably put them on the Facebook page first.
Oh,
we'll
yes.
definitely
any suggestions, get on our Facebook
yeah,
page.
Yeah, if you've got an idea for a route maybe or a cool name for the thing, get us, hit us up, because we are not necessarily finished with this idea. We're just building it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So
since we can't have a car show.
No.
But we can have a cruise.
Yes,
rolling
we can.
Car
yeah,
show.
Yeah, rolling car show. Cruises. We'll have some fun. Hey, check out the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page. Full color 8x10 winner certificates for people who win the trivia question answer. We reach over 1 million enthusiasts every week. Ron Foreman is still here, as he always is. Steve Johann is hanging out over in the corner, and that's what he does. Thanks to Todd Wormack from Trans Am Worldwide
yes,
for dropping by. Keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Drive fast, take risks. Next week, another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.